to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
You can be seated today. You know, in a crowd this size, I know that there's probably great joy in some families and great heartbreak in other families. You know, we were somewhere this week, Jasmine and I were, and we learned that one of the ladies that was having to work there, she had to work. She couldn't get out of it, but she was from another country, and she had just learned that her brother had died in a car accident the day before. And she's still there, and some of the people impatient with her and all this. How many know that there are seasons when the sensitivity, being sensitive to the Spirit, God, you really know things around you more than you normally would. And yesterday's or day before reading was when Peter was going to deny the Lord, and he didn't know that. But Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And he didn't know that, but Jesus was sensitive to people around you. Can we do this before we begin? Can you just slip your hand in the one beside you? And can we just take 1 minute and let's pray? And would you pray for your brother or sister beside you? And you don't know what they're going through. Maybe even live in the same house. You don't have any idea. The pressure is on them. Father, I just sense it in my heart right now. We just want to lift up our brothers and sisters. Lord, you said pray for one another. Lord, encourage one another. Inject courage. Inject hope. And Lord, we just thank you for the hope that just covers everything. The hope, Lord, that comes in when we don't know what to do. Thank you that your feet or your steps are in the sea at times and we cannot trace you, but Lord, we can trust you even when we cannot. So this morning, Lord, we just trust in you. We thank you. We pray for them. We ask you to help supply the need if it's financial. Lord, friendship, heal relationships, bring things back together. Lord, divide what needs to be divided, and we just lift them up and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Everybody said a good amen. Would you give Lord a good clap offering this morning one more time? Would you? This morning, I get a chance to take a little breaks here and there and breathe a little bit. And I asked Brother Kenny last week if he would minister this morning. And I always enjoy it because, I've watched his life. And the good thing is he hasn't yet arrived like any of us has yet arrived. And so what I've learned is the willingness to grow and to change, the willingness to listen. Okay, Lord, it's like Paul said at the end of his life. He said, I haven't attained yet. He said, everybody say press on. And one thing I like about Kenny is he's pressing on after all these years. He's pressing on years and years after all these years, and he's still pressing on. And you know what I'm watching is, how many think it's grand? The Bible, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. But at the same time, you know what I love? I love to see the fire still in people as they grow older in God and not lose that fire and just coast on in. How many want to live till you die? How many want to live till you die? I want you to give Brother Kenny a great welcome this morning as he comes. Come on, Brother Kenny.
Woo! Praise God. Well, I hadn't arrived, but I'm old. Praise God. Oh. How many have you ever been in a hard place in your life? A real hard place. How many, if I asked you, would you go back through there again? Would you want to go there? Well, none of us do, but I want to share some stuff with you today that I think may help you, because every one of us has gone to hard places. Could I get y'all to turn these lights right here down just a little bit? I can't see one eyeball in this place. I want to see you when I'm talking to you. But there's times that you're going to go through things in your life. It's going to be a hard place that you're going to have to contend with. And when you get there, if you will just listen to what the Word of God says and do what God says, you can go through it a lot better. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But if you want to kick and scream the whole way and not do what God wants you to do, because when He brings us through a hard place, He's trying to teach us a lesson. Every time I go through a hard place, I wonder, why am I here? Why is this thing come upon me? And why don't it just go away? And sometimes it just don't go away until I come to the place so I can learn the lesson. And when I learn the lesson, or I try to learn the lesson the best I can, then I can move out of that situation. Amen? We want to talk about today about Jacob. I know many of you know Pastor Terry just told me I had 35 minutes, and I've been preaching in revivals, and I've been going 3 hours. So it's going to be hard for me to cut back some here. But I'm going to cut back, and I'm going to probably get maybe one third of this message. But the one third that I get to you, I want you to really listen to that part of it. And this is taken out of Genesis, the 25th chapter. If you want to kind of follow along, I'm going to jump around. I'm not going to read just exactly what it says. But this is when Rebekah was barren. And the Bible says that that Isaac pleads to the Lord for his wife because she is barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah conceived. How many of you know that you can pray for babies and they will come? And when they get here, you can still pray for them. And you will pray for them a lot. But this has happened. But the Bible says the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is well, why am I like this? She was at a hard place, and she was wondering, why is this turmoil going on inside of me? And the Bible says that she was pregnant with twins. And listen to what the Lord said to her. It says, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older, this is very important, I want you to remember this part, the older shall serve the younger. Now, that is something that was not done in that day and age, in that custom that they came from in the Jewish family. Because the young male that was born first is the one that got the birthright and they got the blessing. But here, God is telling her the older is going to serve the younger. So already she is getting displaced. Wow, who am I going to listen to? God or the traditions of what we go through? So she's got something to go through, and I'm not taking up for her, but if you were in her place, you would wonder why this is happening to you too, because it was a hard place for her. It says, and when her days were fulfilled, she gave birth to twins. The first son was red like a hairy garment all over. Whew, he must have been an ugly baby. You know, I was up at the hospital the other day visiting some babies, and the baby I went to see, by the way, was beautiful. But they had some in the nursery that was really ugly. You know, babies aren't ugly. Hopefully they're going to grow up to be beautiful people, and they will one day. But I'm just joking about that. But he was hairy all over, you know, and that really makes people like me. I've gone to the hospital and saw babies that just come out, and they had more hair on their head than I got. And it's like, God, this just ain't fair. What are you doing to me? But anyway, he was hairy. He was red, and his name was Esau. The second came out, and he took hold of his brother's heel. I mean, can you imagine pulling these two babies out of this woman? And as they're coming, Jacob's got his hand on the heel of Esau. And he comes out with his hand there. That was a type and shadow of what was going to happen in the days ahead. And then the story goes on. They grew and they get to this place. And then the Bible talks about Esau was a skilled hunter. And this is a very thing right here that we need to really watch, especially you guys that dedicated babies today. It says, Esau was a skillful hunter, and he was loved by Isaac. Jacob was a mild man, and he was loved by Rebekah. And he was a dweller of tents. He was also a supplanter and a deceiver. Everybody say deceiver. Because I've learned, if you deceive people, if you do things that's contrary to the word of God, God is going to put you in a place where he's going to get that out of you. How many of you know that there's a cleansing time? And if we read this book right here, if we're washed in the word of God, he's going to bring things to you and bring conviction. And he's going to show you how to get that thing out of your life. And if you don't want to get that thing out of your life, he's going to put the real test to you and show you, I will get it done. I will not override your will, but I will show you in a mirror, if you will, yourself. And if you don't deal with it, then I'm going to deal with it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's not a fun place to be, but I've learned in past that if I will read the Word of God and judge myself, then God will not judge me. If I can handle some things in my life, if I would. But anyway, Esau said to Jacob, now here they're growing up. Jacob, he's like an interior decorator, okay? Esau is a man of the field. He's out there hunting, doing stuff. Jacob is a man that stays in the house with mama. He's mama's little biscuit eater, and he likes to stay around. But he's in there cooking one day, stew, and he's cooking it. I mean, the aroma's going all everywhere. And Esau comes in from hunting, and he's starving to death. And he says, give me some of that red stew. And Jacob says, give me your birthright. I mean, he could have said, well, give me $2 or give me something. But he didn't do that because he was a deceiver. He knew that he had a plan in his heart, and he knew to get that birthright, he had to start off with it. And he finds Esau, and by the way, Esau literally means Edom, and it means a man of the earth, a fleshly man that attends to fleshly matters. How many of you know when you tend to fleshly matters, you're going to miss God because you're concerned about here and now and what's happening in your life personally, and you can be deceived by that. But here's Esau. He comes in. He says, just give me a bowl of that stew, man. Come on. I'm hungry. I'm dying. I am weary. I've been out there all day doing what I'm doing, and I need something to eat. And Jacob says, give me your birthright. You can have it. He says, okay, man, give it to me. Let me have it. And the Bible says Esau sold his birthright. Esau ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus, the Bible says, Esau despised his birthright. He did not hold that in high esteem. He did not, undoubtedly, he didn't understand it. Or if he did understand it, he sold out for what he was doing. And you know, you see a lot of people selling out their salvation for the things of this world. And that's a sad commentary. But listen to what a birthright literally means. It says, for the firstborn, it was a rite of consecration. It was great dignity. It was a double portion of the paternal estate, and he had the right to royal succession. And he sold all of that for a bowl of stew because he was too pleased in feeding himself instead of taking the blessings that God's got for him. And the Bible says he despised his birthright. How horrible that is to go, because you know what? We're going to be tested at times and see what God's going to test us with. And we don't want to sell out for something short other than the glory of God. Amen? I don't want to give out to the things of this world when I know that I got a heavenly reward and I got a heavenly place to go and I got my Father's business to take care of, and I don't want to get wound up in earthly things. Amen? I want to challenge you today. But anyway, after this, and I'm not going to go into the story about where you'll have to read this because that's not going to be in my 30 minutes today. But you read the next chapter in there, chapter 27, where Isaac is deceived by Jacob and Esau is going to kill him. And Jacob begins to run. And you know the story where Isaac was having this, the blessing. He told him, he said, bring Esau in here. He's the oldest son. I got to pray for him. And I want him to go cook me some savory meat and go and get it and come back. And I'm going to eat that. And then I'm probably going to die. What a horrible thing to have to think about. But that happens at times when we get older. But anyway, Rebecca is sitting there listening to what's going on. And she says, come here, Jacob. I want you to go get in the backyard, get some of these kid goats. I want you to get them, kill them, bring them in here. I'm going to cook them. We're going to give them to your dad. He's going to come and he's going to think that you're Esau. We got to fool him into thinking this, and go get the stuff. So he goes and gets it. He comes back. This is paraphrased. He comes back with the skins and he puts it on his hands because the Bible says he was a smooth skinned man. And his daddy knew that. He also, the hunter smelt like a hunter. How many of you know, have you ever gone hunting and you come back and you smell? My wife knows when I go fishing. She knows when I do things like that because she can smell it. And here's Isaac, and he's sitting there waiting for Esau to come back. And Jacob comes in, and his mama has already prepared the food, brings it in, and she's put the goat skin on the smooth of his neck and on his hands. And Isaac comes, and he says, are you really my son? And he asked him this twice. You read the story. He says, are you really my son? And Jacob lies to him two times. And he says, yes, my father. And he says, well, give me the food to eat. And he did. And then the father blessed him. He let the blessing that Esau should have got go to Jacob. Second thing, when Esau finds about it, he is very mad. And he starts looking for Jacob. He's going to kill him. And his mother gets Jacob and says, you need to get up and you need to go to Laban's house. You need to get away from here before he kills you. Go now. Now you read the rest of the story and you fill it all in. But when he goes to Laban's house, before he gets there, he's going to this one place. And this is where I want you to really kind of tune in with what I got to say, because this is the whole gist of the thing. The Bible says Jacob flees to a certain place. This is in Genesis 28:11, if you want to follow along. And the Bible says he stayed there all night long, and he took some stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Now, this is a hard place. This is a place that we need to stop and look at when we get to that place and say, why am I here? A certain place. See, sometimes we don't even know we've got there until we've been there for a while. But if we're aware of what God's doing in our life, when we get to that place, we ought to know we're at that certain place. And he comes and he sees all those stones that was there. And the Bible says he took some of those stones and he began to lay them down. And then he went. And the Bible says, as he laid the stones on the ground, says that he went to sleep. And while he was asleep there, the Bible says he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up from the heavens all the way down. It reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and the Lord told him he would bless him there. Now here he is at a hard place. He's at a place in his life and he don't like, because he's running for his life. He's running from his family. He's running from everything that he ever knew. I don't know how old he was, but this was his first time out. But I also believe it was his first encounter with God. Let me ask you this. Do you remember your first encounter with God? You know, did he put you in a place? You know, hopefully some of you, you were grown in the raised in the church, and you were raised up in the ways of God, and you just begin to know God on a regular basis. And you never went to some of those places, but some of us didn't. Some of us went to the schools of hard knocks. Some of us went to places that we didn't know, didn't even want to know. But yet God brought us to that place. And he brought us because, you know what? His love extends to us as much as it does anybody else. But he brought him to that hard place in his life. And the Bible says as he lay there and he was dreaming, he could see those angels going up and down that ladder. And God was at the top of that ladder. And God says, I am going to bless you. You see, the blessing that he got from his mom, from his dad, and the birthright that he stole from his brother was important. But now God's speaking to him. And God says, I'm going to bless you. And this is what he said. He woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And the Bible says he was afraid. In an uncertain place, many times, is a new and different place. A place that we've never been. It's a place of stretching us. It's a place of getting us out of our comfort zone. You that are facilitators that have never taught a class and now you're doing it. You know, that first week you could probably say, I was at that rock pile. And I know what that is. But now that you're moving on in that situation, now you know that things are different. It's not quite so bad. Because God is there to bless you and to show you and to encourage you. Amen? See, the rock is not a place that we're supposed to die at. It's a place, well, we do die, the inner man dies there. But it's a place that we should have a newness of life. A place where we ought to say, you know what? This is a bad place, but this is a good place too. You see, when I was in the hospital in room 303 and I had been blind for 9 months, and the doctor had just came in and said, if I don't take you off the medicine, you're going to die. If I take the medicine away from you, you're going to go blind. Which one do you want? And then he walks out the door and I'm sitting there saying, this is a hard place. I don't know the answer for either one of these. But I'm going to tell you what I did. I'll never forget it in all my life. That night, in the middle of the morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning in room 303, at the old lady of the lake, I got up and I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, I don't understand this. I don't like it. I don't know it. But I know one thing. I've heard about you enough to where I know one thing. I need a Savior. And I know that I'm lost. And if I'm lost, I need help. And I began to lay my head on that rock and dream dreams. And God began to show me things even back then that I don't even understand now of how my life was going to transpire. Bits and pieces of things that was going to happen. And some of it hasn't even come to pass. Some of it has. God only knows I never wanted to be a pastor. And he put me here. And he showed me that. Now, that you see, the thing that we fear sometimes the most is the best for us. And somebody said, how can you get out of a hospital bed and you're blind and you've had all kind of medical problems because of the medicine that was killing you, and you can sit there and praise God for that? And it's like, yes, I can. I can do that. You know why? Because my God will heal me through anything. And my God did give me perfect vision in my eye. And another thing, they told me I would never be able to live a normal life with the damage that the medication had done to my kidneys, to my lungs, to my heart, to every part of me. And I want you to know I have no problems. Janice and I, give God the glory. I'm 64 years old, and I still get around as good as just about anybody can. I still run, I exercise, I work at my house, I do what I want to do, and I do not take medication. I don't have to have a pill to put me down or put me up or put me out. Amen? I just trust in God, and He gives me the strength and the energy. And this is going to help some of you, because you need to come to that place and say, God is my healer. God is my deliverer. You see, it's nothing that I did other than just being obedient to Him. But the very thing that I had to lay my head on and hurt and think that it was a horrible situation, I could either think the negative about it, or I could say, you know what? God is going to turn this into something good. And God is going to get the glory out of this. And I choose that God got the glory out of it. Amen? If He wouldn't have, I'd be off doing something crazy today. And thank God I'm not. I'm here being a nut with y'all. Glory to God. But I want to tell you something about that ladder. That ladder, you know, Americans used to look at that ladder as a ladder of success. I got to climb to the top. And they leave God out at the bottom. They leave God out in the middle. But I want you to know something. You can run, but you can't hide. And you can try to do everything you can on your own. But I'm going to tell you what, honey. God is at the top of that ladder. When you get there, you're still going to have to deal with Him. Whether you see Him or not right now, you're going to have to deal with Him. But you know what? I've learned to accept Jesus right at the bottom. And you can't get no lower than laying on a rock. Amen? He woke and said, surely the Lord is in this place. How awesome is this place? Now, this was a place that was fearful, and now it's awesome. See, when we turn fear into awesome power of God, things begin to transpire in our lives. Then we will know that God is in control. My God is awesome. I don't care what I go through or what happens to me. My God shall deliver me from all of these things. Amen? We need to know that. But another thing He did, it says, Jacob took a stone that he had, and Jacob took the stone he had laid his head on. He took that stone, and he began to make an altar with it. He stood it up there because he knew that not only was this a place, a landmark. Back then, if you took a stone and you put it in one place and you went and put it on another, if someone else did not own that land became yours. And that was his landmark. But more than a landmark, it was a place to remember. It was a place that he could go to and remember, this is Bethel. This is where I met God. This was the beginning of my life. It's a place where I can always come back to and know that my God is here. And by the way, He's going to go with you anyway. But we need to set some landmarks in our life. Amen? Another thing the Bible says He did, and you know, you guys don't appreciate this, but this is, and then don't do this at home, by the way. But this, when I used to ride motorcycles in the woods, I used to fill this up with Boone's Farm strawberry wine, you know. And I had a straw in here, and I was riding and jumping hills and doing everything. And all you had to do was squirt your, you know, push your arm down once in a while, and you got a hit of it, you know. Well, I had to pray over this thing yesterday because this thing is almost 40 years old right now. But I put some oil in here, and that's what Jacob did. You know what? It kind of represents the old life, but it also represents what the Holy Ghost can do in our lives today. Because the Holy Ghost comes with cleansing. It comes with power. It comes with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. to remind us of the Word of God, to remind us of the landmarks, to remind us of the altar that we went and we died to self and we got up. And the Bible says as Jacob went there, he poured the oil on the rock. He poured that on there as a place of remembrance. You know, it would do us all good to have a place that we could build an altar, to come to a place. By the way, that's water. It's just oil. Just use, y'all work with me, use your imagination today. And how many of you know that Jesus is the rock? It says if you'll come and fall on that rock and be crushed, then that rock won't fall on you and you won't be powder. A little bit of translation different there, but it's the same thing. It's also the chief cornerstone. It's also the rock that the builders rejected. And he's still rejected today. Because a lot of people go through very hard times in their life. And instead of looking to God, they turn away from God. I've been in this thing long enough to watch if, things happen in a family. And maybe a tragedy happens in a family. And that thing would either draw that family closer together and they will be stronger for the Lord. Or either they'll get hardened and they'll go away from the Lord. And you know why? Because they never thought about going and making an altar and saying, you know what? Let's just do it God's way. It looks bad. It looks bleak. It looks like there's no hope. But I believe God can turn it around. You see, there are millions of people out there all over. Some of them may be your next door neighbor. Some of them may be you. And you got hardened and you got callous because maybe God took a family member out of your family or a friend. Or took your job or took something away from you. And you really got mad and bitter about that thing. Well, I want you to know something. It's not too late. You can still go back today and you can make an altar. You go back to that point. Sometimes you may even have to go to that person that hurt you the most and do something special for them and say, you know what? I've been holding this against you for a long time, but today I want to release you with it. I want to release you. I want you to know you just go and you do what you got to do. And I'm going to go and do what I got to do. Now, some cases, that's not really true. You may just write a letter. They may be dead and gone. If it is, you just write a letter and just mail it off somewhere. Do something. But make it a point to make a place. Amen? See, there's a place that we all got to go to. And if you just put an address on it, it'll go off somewhere. It may come back to you. But at least you did what God said do. Amen? It's important that you do something in an act sometimes because you need to know and you need to remember that. I've told people before, when we water baptize people, it would be a great time to put it in the obituary column in the paper. Today, I died to self, and I now live unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What a witness, you know? If every one of us did that, I promise you family members would be calling you and say, "Whew, I'm glad to hear your voice on the phone. I thought you died." You see, that place used to be called Luz, L-U-Z, and that was a house of separation. And now it has become Bethel, the house of God. You see, so I don't care what you're separated from. I got 5 minutes, Brother Terry. But listen to this. Then Jacob made a vow to the Lord, and this is what he said. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I shall surely give you a tenth. Now he made a commitment. He made a vow unto the Lord. And if I ask you today, when was the last time you made a vow? And if you did make that vow, are you holding true to your part of it? Are you really holding true? You know, we don't talk a lot about money. I do because I come up here take up the offering. But I'll never forget when Janice and I started tithing. And I was on a disability insurance at that time and paying out probably $1,500, $2,000 a month is what my bills were. And I was getting $300 for disability insurance. Now, that's not much to pay your bills. I mean, you do the math on that. You're not going to get anything paid for. But you know what? The first week when I got out of that hospital, I asked Jesus, I said, Lord, I've made my altar And I've made my promise, and this was my prayer when I was in that hospital. I'll never forget getting up and pulling all those tubes out of my arms and the sandbags that they had on my head, and I threw them off and took the Velcro straps on my legs to loosen my arms. And I got out of that hospital bed, and I knelt down, and I said, Jesus, I need you. I need a Savior. I need to know that I'm going to heaven. And Jesus, if you will heal me, and you will do what I'm asking you, I will serve you all the days of my life. And I have a fire that's already burning in here, and God, I'll never let that fire go out. And Jesus, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll say what you want me to say, and I will do what you tell me to do. That's been 35 years ago. And I want you to know that fire has not gone out. That fire is still there because I made a vow to the Lord. And you say, well, what are you going with that? And I said, well, I said this. I said, Lord, I told Janice on the way home, I said, we're going to start tithing off of this $300. And she's a Christian now. She's already going to church. I'm brand new. She's driving me home with this bandage on my head. And she said, are you crazy? She said, we can't afford to do that. And I looked at her with this great faith. I said, we can't afford not to do that. I don't know where that came from, but it sounded good. And I said, we're going to give $30 a month to that preacher in that church. We're going to tithe to that church. If the preacher runs off with the piano player, that's his problem. If they go buy something they're not supposed to buy, then that's their problem. But my problem is, if I don't tithe, I'm breaking down my vow. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And that worked so good because you know what? We went through those 9 months and we never missed a car payment. We never missed a house payment. We had things at home all the time. We eat very well, too well. In fact, I gained weight while I was doing that. And we did okay because God was watching out for us. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But you know what the problem really came about? About a year after that, I got so blessed where I was making money hand over fist. And I used to have a goal years ago, make $100 a day. Well, by this time, I made $3,000 in 1 week. And I come home with that check, and I looked at it, and I told Janice, I said, we're not going to tithe this week. I don't think the church needs that much money. Now, wasn't that stupid? And it's like, my vow came back to me. And it's like, everything I told you earlier, forget it. That was not of God, and it was definitely not of me. I just looked at how many of you ever look at the flesh once in a while? You know, the church goes on. We need money back we need your vow every week, not every 6 months. Y'all understand the difference there. And I told her, I said, get that check and you send the church what we promised we was going to do because we will not let down on our vow. Amen? That's Jacob's vow to the Lord. And it was at a hard place. And I'm out of time, and I'm not going to go any further. But I will tell you this. Oh, I hate to leave this part out. I'll preach it next time. But I want you to know, God is going to bring you through hard places. You're going to go to places, and you're going to wonder what's going on. Well, I want to leave just this with you today. You know, these are just styrofoam rocks. Y'all thought I was strong enough to pick that up, didn't you? These are styrofoam rocks right here. But it's an altar. It can be an altar. And this is a picture that I can't do for you. Only you can do this for God. But I promise you, when God begins to wake you up in the watch hours of the night, and He begins to speak to your heart, He's telling you that I love you and I have a blessing for you. And He wants to bring you to that place, to that altar, that you will lay your life down before that altar. Why don't the musicians come, if y'all would? He wants you to come to that place because He's got a blessing there. And the very thing, some of you are here and you may have bad memories of things that happened in your life. I mean, I deal a lot when I counsel with people that go through a lot of hard things. And I pray for them sometimes. And it's, Lord, I'm sorry that this person had to go through what they're going through. And sometimes you can't give them an answer other than just God cares and God loves you. And if they will begin to come to that place and lay it down, even though they might have been a victim of what happened to them, they still have an altar that they can come to. And they can watch and see what great things God will do. And I want you to, everybody stand if you would. We're going to sing some songs and And I, like I said, I didn't get to finish this, but you go on and read the rest of the stories. You go and see what happened to Jacob. There was a payback time at Laban's house. He went there, he worked 14 years for two women, and 6 more years for the animals that was there. And his wages got changed 10 times. But he saw something there that he wanted, and that was Rachel, and he stayed there. But all the deceiving and the conniving that he ever did, Laban did that back to him. And I'm convinced the next story was about when he was there, and it says he wrestled with a man of God all night long. And he says, I'll not turn you loose till you bless me. And the Bible says that the man had to pop Jacob's hip out of joint and finally get rid of him. But he blessed him, and he let the blessings go on him. And he says, you have done good. In fact, I want to read this one scripture. It says, this is so important. This is what the man said to Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. And I will now change your name to Israel. You see, there's things that struggle in our lives. Sometimes we struggle with God. Sometimes we struggle with men. But Jacob had to go and struggle with Laban because he was ugly and mean to him. He was a deceiver, just like Jacob was. But I'm convinced that going through that situation, Jacob came and surrendered and said, you know what? I have been a deceiver. I am a supplanter. I am one that has cheated others when I shouldn't have. And from this day forward, God's changing my name, and I will be a different person. Amen. If this has touched any of you today, you know, the Bible is so explicit about if we don't deal with stuff, God will deal with it. But I've learned also that what goes around comes around. And some of you may be even reaping things that happened to you in the past. But I want you to know if you'll come and build an altar and plant that new seed of yourself, God, He'll change your name. And He will let you begin to put good seed in the ground that you will reap a good harvest of it. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. And I want to ask you today, have you built an altar to the Lord lately? Have you come? Today is your day. I want you to come. Don't even think about it. Just get up and start moving and come down here. This is between you and God. It's not between us. It's just between you and God. And yet, I'm not saying that you're a deceiver, but I'm just saying if you've not built an altar before the Lord, why don't you come? Today is a great day to do it. Come on. While they're singing, I want you to come and move down here.